Show 1-800-449-8686. We're talking about Sarah, the Duchess of York, and I said to Melissa, doesn't her face look a little, you know, Sarah, the Duchess of York, you know, she's lost a lot of weight. Doesn't her face look a little, I don't know, well, she's British. She's ugly. Jeez. You know, it's just, she's British. Melissa says, she's British. Oh, I got it. So she's like Lon Chaney in the freaking Phantom of the Opera. She's British, therefore, frighteningly, hideously ugly. One equals the other. She looks a little snaggletooth. Well, she should. She's British. British get the rap about the bad teeth. Everybody knows that. And, you know, Mike Myers did that whole thing with Austin Powers. And I don't know. I know they have dentists over there, so who's going to, you know. But guess, hey, guys, let's not get on our high horse about teeth. You can go to some sections of this country, and finding a tooth is a, I'm telling you, is one of the great achievements of man on this planet, if you can just find somebody with teeth. I just talked to my very good friend Jim Frangipani, who came back from Nashville, and I said, why'd you leave? He said, I had too many teeth. So don't be, you know. Anyway, because I was talking about Sarah, the Duchess of York, I don't know, why is this hard for me to admit, but I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to admit this now. I went to one of her appearances, and I was alone. I had no woman in my life. I don't think I was employed. I don't think I was stalking her. It was really strange. I don't know what was wrong with me. I have to unburden myself now to all of you. Yes, I did. I heard she was visiting a Vons in Arcadia, California. I went there, and I must have been lonely. I must have been questioning my sexuality. I don't know what it was. I could have faked it and said I'm there to pick up dog food. Oh, look at that. Sarah, the Duchess of York, just happens to be here. First of all, I don't know what's weirder, me going to see her or her going to a Vons anyway. You know, what is... How did that happen? We don't know. Your Highness or your My Lady or whatever the hell they call her. My Lady, we have your schedule. Yes. We'll be going, let's see, Toys R Us in Thousand Oaks. And then, what kind of a tour de force is that? And then we'll have dinner with the Vanderbilts. Afterwards, we'll be meeting with the President and Mrs. Reagan. And then, of course, finally, we'll be going to the Home Depot in Woodland Hills. And we'll... Jeez. So anyway, I heard on the radio, I mean, or wherever I heard it, sitting there. This was a period in my life, I'm telling you. I was making a pretty good living, and I was, like, only working 2 hours a day. So the rest of the time, I would sit in my living room, like, smoking cigarettes and watching the new phenomenon of the day, which was videotapes and VCRs. I had tons of VCRs and everything, you know. So I'm watching all these movies, and I had three or four VCRs. I had a camera. I had like, two video cameras because I was totally in love with the idea of... I went and videotaped everything. I was with my girlfriend videotaping whale watching, and she would just, stop it or I'm going to leave you. It's as simple as that. Stop it or I won't be your girlfriend anymore. And she did, because I wasn't going to stop it. I kept filming the videotape. I was the man that you grab your children and pull your kid away from. Don't go, look, Mommy, don't just move over here. The man with the gist, get away. And Mike puts on the screen, still aren't you? Ah, ha, 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 ha. Isn't that a funny, funny thing? So I like any stalking psychopath, I read in the paper one day, Princess, you know, the Duchess of York will be at the Vons on Las Tunas in Arcadia. You know, and I circle it, rip it out, and put it in a pocket. So had there been a Secret Service agent there, he would have found that on me, and that would have been evidence of some, you know, malintent on my part. And, you know, I didn't take my video camera. Thank you for asking, though, Craig. No, I did not take my video camera. I had some self-respect. So, anyway, I get in my car, and I drive down there, which, by the way, at that time, I was driving a Datsun B210. What? Who is that man? I don't know. So, I pull up, and there in the parking lot of this Vaughn's supermarket in Arcadia, I swear to God, and if anybody from Vaughn's is listening, and I didn't, I forgive me, I'm pretty sure it was your Vaughn's, it was a supermarket down in Arcadia there, the one on, it's in Arcadia, man, I don't know where it is, Las Tunas, Naomi, does that ring a bell? And there was like 2,000 women and all of these pink-skirted ladies-in-waiting and the Duchess of York. And I sort of moved up into the crowd and, you know, just all these women and then my head, because I'm 6 foot. So there's all these women like 5 foot, you know, whatever. And there's this 6 foot tall guy with my video camera and my little... You know, Sarah, the Duchess of York, ripped out and in my pocket like the stalking freak that I was, you know. And little do I know that MI5 right now has a Phil Hendry file, okay? And James Bond and all the guys, Austin Powers, they're looking at my profile as we speak in between aperitifs. But I actually did that. I went down and I saw her and I don't know if I had the hots for her. I don't think so. We are, after all, we're not talking about Diana. We're talking about Sarah, Duchess of York. Please tell me I didn't have the hots. Well, it's, you know, it's nothing personal against her looks. But she is British. So I went down there and I did this, and they were giving out roses, and they were giving away, they were giving roses to the women, because what happened, a lot of the women pressed up to this receiving line of some kind, and the Duchess of York, I think, was looking at how we display cucumbers in this country. So, you know, they're always doing that. They're always going, and then Princess Diana went into a Home Depot to see how the skill saws work. You know, this is America. Like, England don't have that? Because have you ever been to a supermarket in England? They're about one quarter the size of ours, and they just don't have enough of the really good stuff that we have. It's okay, but it ain't great. It's more like walking into a 7-Eleven or something, or a shop and go. Yeah, they're just a smaller. So she's over here, and she's checking out how, oh, my God, what are those? Well, they're called apples, and we have them here. I don't know what you want me to tell you, but, well, that's just amazing. And look at this, yogurt. Yeah, it's yogurt, and we have a bunch of that, and milk. And look at all the beef. Oh, God. Yes, we have cows, and I guess it's the ranch land we have. You know, you're really scaring me. You have to leave my store. Well, I'm the Duchess of York. I don't care. Get out. You and all of your freaking ladies-in-waiting or whatever they're called. So, yeah, and they did that in those. Remember Diana would go around and say, oh, God, look at that. That is just, I've never, it's called a shoe. Did you want one or something? I don't know. It's just wonderful. You Americans, God almighty, it's just, it's neat. Yeah, it's a condom. Oh, really? We don't have those. Well, you can eat it. I guess that's the thing. It's edible. And they'd always come over and they look at all that. You know what I'm talking about? Every time Diana was over here, or Prince Charles. When's the last time that big-eared freak came over here, by the way? When's he paying us a visit? Oh, he's too good? You ever notice that about those guys? They go everywhere but here. What do you mean we don't like him? I don't mind the guy. I think he's okay. Prince Charles. When's he coming over here? Diana. The queen of whatever the hell they call her, this York, what's her name? Sarah York. They go to France. They go to Italy. They go everywhere. They don't come here. But I care, you know, she did and Diana did. But this guy, this Charles, he don't do it. I don't think there's anything wrong with a guy. I'd like to have a chit-chat with him. Ask him how the thing, how's the weather up there, Dumbo? All right, look, when we come back, we'll get back into our Harriet Carter book. Didn't I just sound like Tawny Little there? When we come back... Five men perish in a Southside fire, and Christmas stocking stuffer ideas. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I saw Michael Jackson, the singer's picture in the tabloids, and I don't want to, I really don't want to ridicule him. I think it's time. I really believe it's time that someone commit him to a mental institution. You can say all you want about whether he lightens his face or darkens his face or whether he's this. He needs to go to a mental institution because I think he's insane. He has now transplanted hair from, like, his ass to his face. Have you ever seen anybody mess with their face? First of all, the guy had electrolysis to get rid of the hair on his face. Now he thinks he wants the George Michael, whatever that, you know, that three-day, the 5 o'clock shadow look. Well, because he electrolysis the hair off of his kisser, he had none left. So now he's got to, like, put some back on? I really think, and I'm not going to belabor the point, I think he is mentally unfit to get out of bed in the morning. If anybody loved him and his family, I mean truly loved him, they would send him to a head shrinker so quickly. This guy needs a psychiatrist. He needs an intervention from family members. Is the old man still alive? And wasn't there a movie out about how the old man ruined the family and pushed them and was brutal and mean? This is his, and he was abusive. This is his opportunity to make it up to his son. Sit down and talk to him. You know, Michael, we got to sign the papers on you, man. We're worried. When you start to transplant hair from your ass to your face, it's one, you know, it's one thing, man. It's one thing, brother, to want to put hair plugs in, whatever, you know. And you know what, Michael, I'm your father, and I have power of attorney over you, and I'm going to put you away, and I'm going to have the finest professionals, because not since Linda Blair has there been in one kid in more need of a freaking shrink. You know, there was the girl with the pea soup in The Exorcist, and now there's Michael Jackson. And why you have pubic hair on your chin, I just don't understand.
Well, I wanted to have, a beard. Okay, got it. What the hell is with you? How about from the top of your head or something?
The other thing that this poor kid has done, I feel for him. It must be lonely being so odd. His eyeliner is permanently tattooed. Is he doing that? Does he have eyebrows? Let me ask a basic question. Does he have hair or is that a wig? Are those his arms or are they prosthetic? I just want to know how much of him is real. Good Lord, what has happened to us? I looked at his face and I said, this isn't just Michael Jackson. This is the face of the human race as we now begin to step gingerly into the 21st century. We've got gene splicing. We have genetic engineering. We have cloning. I am telling you, if you think I'm kidding, we are not that far away from a genetically spliced universe, a permutated natural environment that'll, if you ain't got hair now, brother, you'll have some. We are creating modern-day Frankensteins out of ourselves. You look at the kisser of Michael Jackson, you look at the face of Joan Rivers, and you see how brutally unhappy people are with themselves and who they are. How brutally unhappy. Craig Taylor just informed me during the commercial that he met a woman in a restaurant today that has had 9 nose jobs. 9. Now, we all know about obsessive-compulsive behavior, cigarette smoking, addiction to alcohol or drugs. Some people just can't get the nose right. You know how these people, they wash their hands all the time? You know, that kind of obsessive. I think that it's the same thing with a nose job. Going in for another nose job. Oh, will you stop? No, it's just not right. What's wrong with it, man? It's they didn't get it. It's got to be a little more pointed so it'll look like what? So you look like a freaking hobbit? You're a human. It's supposed to be around, not pointed on the... I had a girlfriend once. She had a pointed nose. I said, okay, when did it happen? She goes, I never had a nose job. Oh, come on. This is Phil you're talking to.
Phil, I'm telling you.
I'm telling you, I'm going to give you one more chance. When did you get the nose job? Because no human is born with it. You want to? I'll round it out for you. No human's born with a pointed nose. Only Jack Frost, the Sandman, and a few certain elves that I happen to know with pointed nose. You know, and the Wicked Witch of the West. Not humans. Joan Rivers looks like something out of a Twilight Zone episode. And I'm not saying that to be cruel. She looks too perfect. It's just, ooh. Just play some of that theremin music, you know, like... Yeah, and suddenly she goes from being beautiful to, like, the queen of outer space.
She suddenly, there was a movie called The Queen of Outer Space that I saw as a kid, and this woman wore this beautiful mask, and it looked like the Joan Rivers face. She walked around with Joan Rivers' face on, but it was a mask. And Eric Fleming was in this movie, and then he fell in love with her. He was an Earthman. He traveled to Mars, and she was the Queen of Mars, and she had a mask that she wore everywhere, and the mask is identical to the way Joan Rivers' kisser looks now. So she'd have this mask on, yeah. And finally, at the end of the movie, he says, "I've got to see what you look like." He pulls the mask away, and she's like been hideously burned or some hideous fire that the last Earthlings that visited just blasted her face or something, and that's why she has a hard time. You know, she wants to take the relationship slow, you know, this time out. You know, he's the second Earthman she's dated, and, you know, just maybe if we can go out for coffee. Because the last Earth guy I knew incinerated my face with a blowtorch, if you don't mind. I got, if you will, burned by him. Oh, like a girl with a sense of humor. You know, did you ever hear of a movie called Eyes Without a Face? Really brilliant foreign film made in France. And that, I say brilliant foreign film and then I say made in France. And I realize, along with all the jumbo shrimp you can eat, it's an oxymoron. But anyway, it was made in France. And it's about a girl who walks through this dark house with a mask on. It's called Eyes Without a Face, and her father is a mad freaking plastic surgeon who, like, kills other girls to try to graft, you know, a good face on for his daughter. And the daughter just kind of wanders through this, you know, castle with this mask, you know, and finally she winds up killing her father and, you know, running off into the woods with dogs chasing her and birds. It's like almost the end is like something out of Zippity Doo-Dah. The end is like something out of Song of the South. She winds up killing her father, but it's this brilliant movie. I mean, and I guarantee you won't sleep if you see it. But anyway, speaking of mutilated faces, Joan Rivers, I think, is looking better, though. And you look at I think it's something to just consider. How unhappy can you be if you have that much surgery on your face? I get up in the morning and I look at the ugliest kisser I've ever seen, my own, but I love me, you know? I like me. I got a wrinkle here. I got crow's feet there. I'm bald. I'm fat. I haven't got the greatest teeth. My nose is whatever it is. I got these big lobe ears. The kids are always making fun of my ears because I got big earlobes. But you know what, kid? You're okay, Phil. You're good looking, man. You know why? I get by with my bubbly personality. Hi, everybody. I'm Phil Hendry. I sub bubbly personality, and Melissa's in there ready to slit her own wrist. All right, let's go on now to the Harriet Carter novel, a Harriet Carter catalog. Well, it's a novel to me, because I read these catalogs the same way I read, you know, Mein Kampf or Tale of Two Cities. What do you want to read, Phil? I don't know, the Joe DiMaggio book or a Harriet Carter catalog. I think I'll try the catalog tonight. And this is the catalog for the fat and lazy. Waist extender adds up to 5 inches to waistbands of jeans, pants, and skirts. All right. So, in other words, what you do, look at this product, Craig. You take this thing, you stick it in the waist of your pants, so it'll stretch the pants out up to 5 inches. So if you went from a 35 waist to a 40, guess what, fatso? You don't have to buy any new clothes. You can just stretch hell out of your old clothes. Yikes. Here's one here. Coffee filter dispenser gives you one filter at a time. Lift the lid and the attached prong dispenses a single filter. Can't you just reach in and pull one out? How fat, how lazy are you? Lift lid, the secret, it says. The secret is the prong's permanently sticky tip. So you'll only get one filter and you won't go through the hell. The living fifth ring of Dante's Inferno hell of pulling up two filters instead of one. Thank you. All right, we got another one here. This is good. Personal sound amplifier puts an end to missed conversations and embarrassing moments, fits discreetly in your ear, and provides crystal clear sound without wires. Lightweight device has an on-off switch. Okay, this is not a hearing aid. It's a personal sound amplifier. It doesn't mean you have a hearing problem. It means you're too lazy to pay attention. So you have to put something in your ear to turn the whole room noise up so you know, it'll just intrude on your subconscious whether you like it or not. That's terrific. I'm Phil Hendry. We'll be right back. Show 1-800-449-8686. R.C. Collins from Chatsworth High is on the line with us with his look back at the Super Bowls, all 34 Super Bowls. R.C.?
Thanks a lot, Phil. This is R.C. Collins at Chatsworth High School with a look back on the Super Bowl. Oh.
Jesus.
Super Bowl I was the very first Super Bowl. It was at the L.A. County Coliseum. Then there were some people there. And another thing...
Forget about how many people were there. Just tell us about the game.
Okay. The head coaches, Vince Lombardi of the Green Bay Packers and of the Kansas City Chiefs, Hank Stram. The Packers won 35-10. Super Bowl II was the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders against the Green Bay Packers. Everybody knew it'd be a wipeout, and they were right. The Packers beat the Raiders, head coached by John Roush. John Roush. Where's the music? And another thing.
I'll handle the music. And the Packers were coached by Vince Lombardi. Okay, Super Bowl III.
Super Bowl III. The New York Jets and the Baltimore Colts. Everybody thought it would be a wipeout on account of the fact that the Colts were 18-point favorites. But a guy by the name of Joe Willie Namath guaranteed a victory for the New York Jets. And that's what they did. They came out that Sunday. They passed it. They ran it. They beat the Colts 16-7. At the Orangutan Bowl in Miami. Now
the Orange Bowl.
Huh?
Kill the music for a minute. Why do you call it the Orangutan Bowl?
All I saw was the O-R-A.
So you assume it's the Orangutan Bowl.
I'm sorry, I saw that...
Look, you know, if you're going to do a report, get your facts lined up.
I saw O-R-A and then there was a misprint.
All right. Do you know football?
Yes, I do.
So you say at the Orangutan Bowl they beat the Jets, thinking that ORA must mean they're going to spell orangutan.
You know this is for a grade in my broadcast class, Mr. Henry. Please be more gentle.
All right, go ahead.
This is R.C. Collins with a look back on the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Oh. Super Bowl number 4. If the American Football League looked good beating the NFL the year before, the Kansas City Chiefs put an end to the question with a convincing victory over the Minnesota Vikings. This would be the first of 4 Super Bowls the Vikings wouldn't win or anything. Super Bowl number 5. This was the one that Phil was talking about earlier. The Colts and Dallas Cowboys. Oh, Jesus. Now then.
Well, what was the score?
What?
Super Bowl V, what was the score?
16-13, the Colts win.
You know, you don't just... kill the music for a minute. You don't say...
This is a grade in my...
I know it's a grade in the broadcast class. You don't go, Super Bowl V, oh, Jesus.
I didn't know what to say.
Well, then have your notes in front of you. Super Bowl III at the Orangutan Bowl. Super Bowl V, oh, Jesus. And then on we go.
What the hell?
What the hell?
Yeah.
How about a little score? How about some of the color? Who won the game, Super Bowl V?
We'll get the music.
Hit his music.
Super Bowl V. the Dallas Cowboys and the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins stood no chance as a new entry into the Super Bowl. The Cowboys win. Larry Zonka of the Miami Dolphins didn't fumble all year, but he fumbled decisively in this game to set up a Dallas Cowboys score. Super Bowl number 6 was played at the L.A. Coliseum. The Miami Dolphins and the...
Kill the music. What?
Somebody wrote this down. I don't know if that's it.
I'm very, very sorry, R.C., that someone wrote that.
Why'd they write prairie nigger?
Don't say that! How dare you?
Well, they wrote it...
Somebody obviously got to your... It's the Washington Redskins.
Well, they wrote...
I know what they wrote, and I'm going to find out who wrote it. I want a meeting with the entire staff after this. I don't care if we're on the air. I want a meeting with the entire staff after we're on the air. Turn the music off. Turn the music off. I'm very sorry, R.C. Don't repeat stuff like that on the air.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's the Washington... Turn it off. The Washington Redskins.
That was bad?
Yes, it was bad. All right, start all over again.
The Washington Redskins and the Miami Dolphins met in a game best remembered for Garo Yepremian's bad pass that was intercepted by the Redskins for a touchdown. But the Dolphins prevail and cap off their perfect season 17-0. Whoa. The next year, the Dolphins were all over the Minnesota Vikings like stink on...
Don't say that, okay? Hold on, kill the music. Don't say the word that's written there.
It says stink on...
I know what it says. You can say they were all over the Vikings like white on rice, not like stink on...
Well, it's spelled S-I...
I know how it's spelled. The Miami Dolphins were all over the Minnesota Vikings like white on rice. How about that?
The Miami Dolphins were all over the Minnesota Vikings like white on rice as they beat the Vikings for the Vikings' second Super Bowl loss and the Dolphins' second win in a row. The following year, the Pittsburgh Steelers make their entry into Super Bowl lore, dispatching, you guessed it, the Minnesota Vikings for the Steelers' first of 4 Super Bowl rings. Hey, Phil.
What? Who killed the music?
I wanted him to kill it. I want to ask you something.
What?
If I can't say, like, stink on, you know, blank.
Right.
But you want me to say, like, white on rice?
Yeah.
Couldn't I say wouldn't it be hipper to say that the Miami Dolphins were all over the Minnesota Vikings like a black on a blonde? And the...
Don't say that. All right. Who told you that?
Mike said to.
No, all right. Hold on. All right. We're going to suspend this coverage of the thing. And will you turn that music off when I'm talking? We're going to suspend this because what you guys did is you got a hold of his notes and you started screwing with him. I apologize sincerely to everyone for that. (sighs) 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show here.
And another thing, the way that...
I don't want to hear any more of your freaking report, okay?
Do you think I'll get a good grade?
I would give you an F on preparation because you should have looked at your notes.
Okay. What about the way I delivered?
I think your delivery was very strong. I think it was there, but I think your notes were messed up, man. Okay? And forget about black on a blonde and all that other stuff. And if I ever hear that N-word on this show again, you are fired. You got that?
Well, it's not like I'm getting paid in the first place.
Well, just pretend like I'm paying you, okay? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Bill Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Friday night, West Hollywood.
You know,
I don't go that way, man. No.
The force.
No, I don't want you to. No, I'm not going to pay you for that. That's fine, but I know. I have a wife and stop it. Okay. So that's Michael Jackson. We'll be hearing more of that a little bit later on. God, you know, you guys, what are you doing to me over here?
You know,
I don't want a date, man. No, I don't want a date, man. Come on, light, turn green. Turn green.
The force.
Please, light, turn green. Please, turn green.
It makes me feel like...
Stop it. All right. By the way, Amtrak, thank you. Good job this afternoon. My guy, the oldest of our boys, was waiting for a train on the platform at the Moor Park Station, and he was on his way up to San Luis Obispo to visit his cousin in college, and the Amtrak train pulls in, and there's Nick on the platform with his little bag. They don't open the door, and they just take off again. You want to know why nobody's taking the train, man? You won't let them on. Nice job. So, you know, we got to drive him up there now because the train pulls into the station, which is a Rolling Stones song, I think, and don't open its door. Any blues man ever do a song like that?
Train come into the station and didn't open its door. How the hell's a man go from here to there?
Can you get a... What is that about? You know, how are people going to get ready? There's a train a-coming when the door don't open. People get ready. There's a train a-coming. Don't need no ticket. You just get on board if we open the door. What the hell? Anyway, that kind of bugged me. Maria told me about that today, and I said, what, you know? So she finally, I don't know what she did. She wound up buying another ticket for another train, and she told the guy at the ticket counter, and he's like, jeez. He wound up giving her a free fare. I think they wound up getting a free fare from the train station, but I don't get. And she said the thing that bothered me was this. The conductor was staring right at her. The guy who is in charge of board, you know all that? You know, the guy yells, board, and somebody yells, yes, we are. That guy, he's staring right at the kid, and they don't open the door up, and they just, okay, bye. So in other words, it's like the toy train you had as a kid. It just stops at the station, people look at it, and then it takes off again, and people are still, geez, can I get on that, or is that a toy train? I guess it's a larger version of that. So anyway, he's on his way up there. I think he's going to be okay. Mike says to me that the Chinese New Year was on the 24th. I said, it can't be because I went to the Chinese New Year's parade around February the 14th or the 13th in L.A. at Chinatown. And he said, no, it's the 24th. I said, well, are you looking at a white man's calendar? He said, well, show me where the Chinese calendar. I said, that's a white man's calendar. He says, how could there be a white man's calendar? I said, well, it's a calendar made by white people, okay, and they don't know the Chinese New Year. So go get me a, excuse me, go get me a Chinese calendar. What number was that Michael Jackson cut? Yeah, okay. Go get me a Chinese calendar so we can enjoy the Chinese New Year, you know? Oh, you again. Yeah, there you are again.
I was wondering.
No, thank you. No, thank you, son. I don't want to.
Oh, Bobby, you need to get a life.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get a life because the captain's table, first of all, she's not going to knock any dishes over because you're served at the captain's table.
There's a buffet.
Not at the captain's table.
Yeah.
No, I don't think you got your facts straight.
Well, I don't know what cruise you went on.
And it doesn't matter.
But...
I've been on five. Mm-hmm. I've been on five.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you sit
you're
at the
very discriminating against
did you
this
get
girl.
Did you sit at the captain's table?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, one time we were invited.
How old are you?
56.
That's very unusual.
Why?
For someone that old to be allowed near the captain, isn't it?
I, you know what your problem
mean, allowed
is?
Near
I think
the
you're very jealous
no, no, no,
of this
no, no,
girl.
No, no, no. I didn't mean
you're
allowed.
You're very jealous of
no,
this
no, no,
girl.
No, no, no. I'm sorry. I didn't mean allowed near the captain, but I meant at the captain's table.
Why? What does age have to do with it?
Well, because generally my understanding is, and Bob Toll over at the cruise lines told me that only people of high moral standing are allowed.
Well, that's
at
why
the
probably
table.
We were invited.
Mm-hmm.
We have a business.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also seen people
mm-hmm.
sitting at the captain's table
yeah.
licking their fingers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're not all as high standard as you think. They have a lot of money, but they don't know how to act. You, on the other hand, need to get a life because you're very jealous of this girl.
No, I'm not jealous of 170 pounds.
Oh, yes, you are. Yeah,
since
you are, because
jealous?
She ruins everything
what?
You do.
She always ruins everything.
You need to get a life.
She ruins everything.
What does she ruin? Because
first
she's heavy?
Of all, yes, because 170
pounds. Well, what does that have to do with your life? What does that have to do with
because
you?
Because this is our third annual Wintertacular. We warned her last year. She knew she'd be wearing something sheer.
So she doesn't have to go if she doesn't want to go. And if she wants to go, she should be allowed to go, and you should honor her to be there.
But do you think it's fair for her to wear something sheer at 170 pounds? Everyone's going to see her at the dessert buffet.
What?
Everyone will see her at the cotillion later on.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
How
mm-hmm.
much do you weigh?
I am 5'5". I'm 110 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I work out.
Mm-hmm.
I have a personal trainer.
And if she chooses not to, then that makes her a bad person?
Our Wintertacular involves our executive council and the fact that we all work very hard on our morality throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
May I ask the lady what her name is? What's your name?
Wait, Steve. Bobby's Steve? Either going to talk to her.
Well, this is Steve Dooley. I'm Bobby's husband.
Yes.
You said you're 56?
Yes.
And do you look it or? Because I don't know.
Yeah, real good.
Well, no.
I'm size 4.
Size 4.
I work
that.
Out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm 5'2".
Yeah.
And I work every day.
Did you go to the captain's table?
Yes, I did.
Yes, she's been at the captain's table.
That was a very nice. It was not like sleeping in the White House.
Was it in the Caribbean?
You people probably haven't been doing a whole lot. If you think, if you're going to compare that to the White House, you people haven't done too much.
Let me ask you something. Nothing. I saw last year Sandy ate gravy with a spoon,
mm-hmm.
The cream sauce with a straw.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let me ask
okay.
you this. Why does that?
Okay,
if you're not doing that,
mm-hmm,
and now you think that's very wrong,
mm-hmm,
you're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you care what she does?
Because I'm at the captain's table. We represent the executive council of the Western
State. But it's not
State
you doing it. Are they going to look at you
no,
and
but
say,
it reflects
"Oh my goodness"?
Badly on our cotillion committee. It reflects badly on our organ, on our landscaping committee. And
wait a minute. It's the executive council and the landscaping committee.
Phil, we are a community, and we're very moral. I'm a size 2.
It doesn't matter what size you are. You have no heart.
Okay.
You have no heart. You're cold.
Cold?
Cold.
Steve,
your organization
Steve,
should
am
get
I
you
cold?
And throw you out.
Oh, you're red hot, baby.
They should
yeah,
throw you out.
You should ask my husband whether I'm cold or not.
They
okay?
should throw you out. You're
throw
a disgrace.
I
have never
the president
heard
of our homeowners
anybody
association.
Talk about anybody like that.
Really?
And you're
we
supposed
just,
to be her friend.
Thanks to me, they've opened the bougainvillea phase. We have 15 beautiful new homes. And
well, why don't you concentrate
really
on
hot.
That instead of concentrating on the other girl that you're harassing?
My wife can't be thrown out. She's the president of the homeowners association.
Oh, no wonder.
She can be
now
voted out.
Okay, that
she can be voted out, can't
problem.
She?
I understand it all now.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it all. It's
mm-hmm.
either your way or no way.
I am Western Estates. I'm not just the president. I am Western Estates.
Oh, well, that's
oh my God. Well,
that's
Heil
why you're
Hitler.
Coming off the way you are, then.
What did you say?
I
that's
said,
why you come off the way you do.
What did you say?
I said Heil Hitler.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't understand.
You don't know who Hitler is.
Yeah,
I'm
they
sorry.
Need to click their boots when they're
mm-hmm,
around you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They really do.
Is that bad?
That's a disgrace.
Is that bad? I don't
know. And
okay.
I'm glad I don't know anything about
right,
your
Ann,
organization.
Thank you very much.
Because I ticket you so bad.
You don't. You pick it up. They should put down the sandwiches and go to the captain's table.
Okay.
They don't have sandwiches at the captain's table.
My understanding is they are going to serve sandwiches.
Well, then it must be a lower life group.
Bill Henry.
Oh.